It is a privilege to get in front of you ladies, and I can't tell you how excited I've been. I told a million people today, I think. I walked in when I arrived and looked at all the tables set up and just the beauty and all of that. But when I see all of you ladies sitting around them, just enjoying each other, enjoying the Lord, enjoying the blessing of being together, it just makes it so over the top. So I'm so glad you're all here. We are in the middle of winter. Did you guys notice this? It's kind of hard this year. Most winters, it's not quite like this. But those of us that were here last year, Anka just mentioned this, remember that we had a chance to reflect on the quietness of winter. And sometimes there's a lot of noise going on all around us, but the quietness comes from the peace that comes from being in the presence of the Lord, from being in His Word and listening for His still small voice to minister to you. Now, be honest, how many of you felt your shoulders just drop when I talked about being in the presence of the Lord? Because you just kind of relax and think, this is the best place to be. Just the thought of Jesus and His comfort can bring you so much peace. Isn't that true? We know that He is our peace, but life isn't always peaceful. There are entire seasons we endure that challenge us and can even discourage us. Winter can bring storms and icy roads and way deep snow that you have to shovel, lots of things that are hard to endure. Yet there are quiet things happening underneath the snowbanks, no matter what it looks like or feels like outside in a normal winter. Spring is coming, and the winter is used to develop the glories that show up in the springtime. Our theme for the tea today comes from Psalm 74. In the beginning of December, I read a devotion by Charles Spurgeon, and it just kind of sat on my, like, all around me. I just kept thinking about it. And so when it was very apparent that the Lord said, it's my turn to share with you, I thought, well, that's why, because He wanted to talk about this. But before I read... parts of this psalm to you, I want you to ask yourself, when your prayers seem unanswered and things are difficult, have you ever thought God wasn't listening or forgot you? Do you find yourself weary in a battle that seems to have no end? Let me introduce Psalm 74. It's called A Contemplation of Asaph. The psalm opens with a cry for help because the sanctuary had been destroyed. It felt like God had abandoned Israel. But in faith, the psalmist asks to remember his congregation. The psalmist's faith shows because in verse 10, he's asking, how long will the adversary reproach? He knows there's going to be an end to it. He's just saying, how long is this going to happen? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? He knew God would bring it to an end. Listen as the psalmist reminds himself what God has done and what the Lord has established. In verses 12 through 17, it says, "For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke upon the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours. The night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made the summer and winter." And here's what Spurgeon says. So I'm going to read you this whole devotion that has been in my mind for so long, and it's so good. "My soul, begin this wintry month with God. The cold snows and the piercing winds all remind you that He keeps His covenant with day and night, and serve to assure you that He will also keep the glorious covenant that He has made with you in the person of Christ Jesus. He who is true to His word in the revolutions of the seasons of this poor, sin-polluted world will not prove unfaithful in His dealings with His own well-beloved Son. Winter in the soul is by no means a comfortable season, and if it is upon you just now, it will be very painful to you. But there is this comfort, namely that the Lord makes it. He sends the sharp blasts of adversity to nip the buds of expectation. He scatters the frozen dew like ashes over the once fresh green meadows of our joy, and he dispenses icy morsels, freezing the streams of our delight. He does it all. He is the great winter king and rules the realms of frost, and therefore you cannot murmur. Losses, crosses, heaviness, sickness, poverty, and 1,000 other ills are of the Lord's sending and come to us with wise design. Frost kills harmful insects and restrains raging diseases. They break up the clods and sweeten the soul. Oh, that such good results would always follow our winter affliction. How we prize the fire just now. How pleasant it is its cheerful glow. Let us in the same manner prize our Lord, who is the constant source of warmth and comfort in every time of trouble. Let us draw near to him and in him find joy and peace in believing. Let us wrap ourselves in the warm garments of his promises and keep working, unlike the lazy man who refuses to plow because it's too cold. In the summer, he will have nothing because he will be forced to beg for bread. So winter's real. It's not permanent. It is never out of God's control. God's word makes it very clear that winter is only a season. Listen to Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. When things look the darkest, the coldest, the fiercest, we can trust that summer comes. It shall not cease. We can rely on God's trustworthy word. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, and speaking of fullness of time, that means when God wanted it to happen. It wasn't a second before. It wasn't a minute late. It wasn't just sliding in. It was right on time. So in the fullness of time, when it had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The father had picked the exact birthday for his son, Jesus. God doesn't show up early. He doesn't show up late, ever. Unless you're measuring it against your time schedule, and then that really doesn't matter. So, God is working out a perfect plan for you, for your family, for the people in your life, for the people he loves. And ultimately, it is all for his glory. His glory includes his care for his people. And Psalm 4:8 says, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Each season serves a purpose. Each season, the Lord is with you. In times of joy, we respond with gratitude. In darkness and difficulty, we seek God for guidance. He is always part of it. Part of seeking God's guidance is accepting his timetable and realizing that he sets the boundaries for your situation, even your difficult situation, or should I say, especially your difficult situation. When you hand your anxiousness and worry to the God who loves you with an everlasting love, you've handed them to our God who is determined to conform you into his image and the God who never fails. Trust him in the quietness. When you don't see anything happening, he has not forgotten you. God's peace and presence are sure. They are immovable. His word promises that when we seek him, we find him. And here's the best part. You can accomplish great and mighty things when you keep your focus on God and his plan, not trying to work out the details on your own. When your eyes are steadfast towards our Lord, you will see he works through winter and not just after it's passed. Listen to what Isaiah 55 says. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Snow and rain accomplish God's purposes. Let's pause for a minute here. If you are saying to yourself, I don't understand what I'm going through, when will this end? Easy for you to say, where is all of this headed? Why is this happening to me? How could this possibly be fair? In the winter seasons, it is so easy to ask the what, when, where, why, how questions. Those come without much thought at all. and they come fast. But what we so often miss is the who. Who actually understands what I'm going through? Who knows about life and people being unfair? Who knows the reason for this season in my life? Who knows when this will end and how it will turn out? The who, and I think you all know this, the who is Jesus. The who knows how it will turn out? Jesus knows. He told the disciples in Luke 21:13 that persecution and prison will turn out for a testimony, for his glory. When Paul was in a Roman prison, he wrote in Philippians, "But I want you to know, brethren, that things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." He goes on to say that those in the prison knew he was there on account of Jesus. Additionally, his testimony strengthened others, and it turned out. Now, not just turned out, but it served God's purpose for furthering the gospel. Paul's winter season turned out to glorify God, serve as a witness, and strengthen other believers. You see, when we reframe the questions, they actually all lead to the same name, the name of Jesus, our Savior, who willingly came to earth in the form of a baby and lived a sin-free life. His sin-free life wasn't an easy life. He got tired. He was accused. He experienced betrayal by his friends, but he waited for God's bigger picture. He did that so that when his Father chose the time for him to be offered as a perfect sacrifice for our sin, he would be ready and willing, trusting his Father to complete the work that he had begun in him. Jesus was tortured on the cross. He took all our sins, all our filth upon him, and he was separated from his Father for that. He did it so that we could be forgiven. And he would die, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, just like God said he would. He defeated sin and death. He suffered all that to make a way for us to be forgiven and reconciled with the Father. And remember his words on the cross? It is finished. The end of that grueling season was now. It is finished. And listen to what Spurgeon says again. If the Lord says, "Seek ye my face," take care that you do seek his face. If he says, "Ask and it shall be given to you," be sure to ask and expect to receive. If the Lord promises pardon to those who believe on his Son, let us believe on his Son and receive mercy. He keeps his covenant with the day and night, with summer and winter. Let us therefore believe that he will keep his covenant with us and do even as he hath said. Jesus is the perfect example of suffering for a season. He accomplished God's will through that suffering. To the disciples, Jesus was in the grave those 3 days. There wasn't anything happening except for they were very sad. There was mourning. They were kind of wondering what happens next. But God was at work. He accomplished what we all need, the only way that we could have a relationship with him, and by reconciliation through his Son. And as you acknowledge him as your Savior, you become clothed in his righteousness. It is that righteousness that allows you free access to the throne room of God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, it's a great day to know Jesus. So talk to your friend who brought you, or even I bet you I would love to see a table of ladies just praying together for someone's salvation. That would be wonderful. What does that relationship with Jesus really mean in a winter season exactly? As you look across a quiet field of white, and we kind of have that going on, and some mountains covered in snow and tree branches sagging from the snow, you're not alone. You have an advocate with the Father. There may be stillness all around you, but he still hears you, and he has his best for you. The fields of white will surely melt to reveal the work that has been accomplished under the cover of stillness and cold. It's a work that conforms you into his image. It's a work that accomplishes his perfect will. This is the cool part. It's a work that doesn't just benefit you, but it can touch the lives of anyone the Lord chooses that surrounds you. However he wants to do that, and no matter how impossible it seems to us. It's just a season whose length is completely determined by God. Think about the time Jesus was in the storm on the sea with his disciples. And Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and the waves were beating against the boat, and the boat's getting rocked, and the water's coming in the boat. And you guys, I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that gets filled with water, but it kind of gets heavy, and it starts sinking, and they're wondering what's going on. And the disciples woke him up and asked Jesus if he cared that they were perishing. The storm looked out of control, and it felt life-threatening. And all the while, Jesus, in perfect, peaceful sleep up there, not worrying about a thing. So do you remember what ended the storm? It wasn't that the disciples calmed down. It was that Jesus stood up and said, stop. Your storms, your seasons don't end when you feel stronger. They end when God says enough. Let me share a little story about my mom. And I share with her a little bit every once in a while. So if you've heard it before, she's been such a testimony to me in my life. And I thought this was such a great example. She was diagnosed with MS when I was 3. And as the disease progressed, she refused to believe that she should give up. She continually prayed that the Lord would heal her with the expectation that it would happen. There was never any doubt in her mind that she was going to be healed. In the last several years of her life, she was completely reliant on help to get out of bed, to get dressed, even to eat. And my kids and I would go over there every afternoon and hang out with her, and it was wonderful. And when we would get up to leave, my kids would crawl into her lap to give her a hug, and she couldn't lift her arms to hug them back. She could just kiss them on the cheek and send us on our way. But she did it, you know, she was there. All the while, I never remember her spending a day in bed. She chose to get up with help. She chose to get dressed with help. She chose to move into the living room and sit in her chair with help, but she did it. And she would visit with anybody that would come and visit with her. And she would pray with any of her friends that would come over and pray with her. And she would just laugh and smile. And we have a lot of great memories with her. The Lord did heal her. On April 15th in 2013, she woke up in the presence of Jesus and she was healed. And the winter season in her life that had lasted for over 40 years was done. In the meantime, the Lord had been working underneath all of that quietness in what seemed like unanswered prayer. He used it to illustrate a man laying down his life for another. When we were at her memorial service, I had a couple of her friends mention to me how much my dad had testified to them of the Lord, because he was the one who would make sure she got where she needed to go, help her in and out of the car. Anything that she needed, he made sure she could do it if there was any way she could do it. And he was such a great example for a lot of people. The Lord used it to train me to keep asking and expect the Lord to answer. My brothers grew up seeing that barriers call for a new strategy, not surrender. And the Lord used it to show us that we are not alone. The Lord showed us how to work together, to accomplish things together. And I'm going to have to say, the selfish teenager in me did not learn this lesson fast, but Jesus is patient and faithful. He used it to help her find new ways to serve him. She taught swimming and she taught skiing in Whitefish for years. And then she led Bible studies at her church and sang in the choir. And when she could no longer leave home without help, she began she managed the prayer chain for her church until she couldn't do that anymore. But she made the phone calls when she could. Imagine how the Lord worked through that. But probably most important, the Lord taught her to cling to him, to keep asking to see his faithfulness. Can you see how even the cold barrenness of winter, in that season, the Lord has a plan and he's working? Here's a couple of verses as we wrap up, and you may already know these verses. They're just really great ones to have in the back of your mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Accepting God's timetable and the limitations that he chooses for your situation helps dispel anxiety. It takes it off of your shoulders to have it figured out. trust him in the quietness. He has not forgotten you. God's peace and presence are sure. They are immovable. You can accomplish great and mighty things when you keep your focus on God, even if those great and mighty things that you determine that you will trust the Lord through whatever he takes you through. And also Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Have faith in God in every area of your life. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful and he loves you perfectly. That in mind, you can and will, he can and will arrange every detail of your life to work out for your best. Your job is to join him, not decide to step away from him. Let him direct your path. Stop all the what ifs, how will it work, where is the answer, when will I know, all those questions that are going through your head, just stop that. Exchange that for a listening ear to the who. What does God's word say? And for a softened heart that waits for him to direct your step. It may take longer than you want, and it may be in a different way than you would choose, but he is faithful, and he has made the winter, and it is only a season that will last until he has its planned end. Psalm 138 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." May that be our hearts, to allow the work of his hands in our lives, knowing that he will perfect all that concerns us in his perfect way and in his determined timing. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. We can always come back to that you never fail. And we pray that you would give us that extra boost of just who you are, that we would be willing to trust you with our winters, that we would have a renewed sense of worship as we watch with expectation. We pray that you will help us to never surrender to the world, to the flesh, or to the devil, only to you, Jesus, only handing you our burdens, knowing that that is what truly makes them lighter. We thank you so much for the seasons that you give us. We pray that you would accomplish your perfect will and you would be glorified. We praise you, Jesus, and ask this all in your name. Amen.